Chapter 7, The Mercy and Grace of God. We come now to a view of the nature or character of God, which is especially related to the entrance and existence of sin in the world, and its sad consequences of guilt, punishment, trouble, and sorrow. That God should have permitted sin to enter into and mar his fair creation is a great deep, before which it becomes all the earth to keep silence. By man sin entered and death came, and he is the guilty creature, nor are those glorious perfections of God which we have already considered at all sullied thereby. God is righteous and holy still, and full of love, goodness, and faithfulness, and every mouth shall be stopped, and all the world become guilty before him, Romans 3, verse 19. The mercy of God may be said to be that divine attribute which has special regard to the guilty but penitent sinner. Hence, this was the plea of the poor publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those that guilty stand. Mercy is exercised toward those who are made truly conscious of their sin and guilt, and in regard to the sufferings and consequences which come upon them thereby, sorrow, trouble, pain, affliction, distress, death, and punishment. Mercy reigns to pardon sin and to alleviate or remove the grievous consequences. Grace is the favor of God bestowed upon unworthy creatures, freely and sovereignly, and without regard to their deserts. It arises from the sovereign prerogative and purposes of God, who will be gracious to whom he will be gracious, and will show mercy upon whom he will show mercy, Exodus 33, verse 19. Hence, the blessing is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy, Romans 9, verses 15 and 16. It was in this way that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis 6, verse 8, so also Lot in wicked Sodom, Genesis 19, verse 19, Moses, Exodus 33, verse 12, and the Apostle Paul, Galatians 1, 15, and all the election of grace, Romans 11, verse 5. After the law of God, as contained in the Ten Commandments, had been delivered on Mount Sinai, the children of Israel quickly turned aside to idols in the absence of Moses and danced around the gold calf. This was a grievous breach of that holy law so newly given, which Moses signified of breaking the tables of stone when he descended from the holy mount. The part of Moses, then, as mediator under that covenant of works, was to stand in the breach, and it was at that solemn time that the Lord condescended to proclaim himself as merciful and gracious. He passed by before Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord to be the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. This was an early discovery of the mercy and grace of God, as now made known in the gospel, and we shall find it continually referred to and repeated in the history of the children of Israel. Hezekiah reminded them of this great name of the Lord, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you, if ye return unto him, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9. The psalmist also reiterates it again and again. Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalm 86, verses 5 and 15. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Psalm 111, verse 4, and Psalm 145, verse 8. The prophet Joel encourages them by the same truth. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Joel 2, verse 13. Jonah has a similar word, although he made a bad use of it, to excuse his unwillingness to go to Nineveh. Jonah 4, verse 2. Jeremiah again takes refuge in this great name of the Lord. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Jeremiah 32, verse 18. And after the return from captivity, Nehemiah pleads it before the Lord. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. Nehemiah 9, verse 17. Of this truth was thus revealed and repeated under the Old Testament. How much more is it manifested under the New? So the apostle tells the Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. And again to Titus, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus 2, verse 11, and Titus 3, verses 5 through 7. In the gospel, the way in which the mercy of the Lord can flow to perishing sinners, and in which his grace is manifested toward them, is clearly set forth. In the covenant of grace, which was entered into by the eternal three before time began, provision was made whereby grace and mercy could be honorably bestowed upon guilty creatures. The eternal Son of the Father was to come and take a body prepared for him and like our own, and with the exception of sin. He was thus constituted a mediator between God and men, and standing in the place of his people, he bore their sins in his own body on the tree and made an atonement for them. They are thus justified by his grace and receive pardoning mercy through his precious blood. This provision in the covenant of grace was made from everlasting and will endure forever and ever. Hence, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Psalm 103, verse 17. And the covenant is called an everlasting covenant. This was David's consolation as he came to his end. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. 2 Samuel 23, verse 4. These are called the sure mercies of David. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David, Isaiah 55, verse 3. These mercies are sure and will endure forever, because he will not break his covenant. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Psalm 89, verses 28 and 34. This mercy and grace dwelt in God the Father from everlasting, who is therefore called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. Luke 6, verse 36. He is called also the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. Mercy and grace flow to the people of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, therefore, of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 16, verses 20 and forward, who is called a merciful and faithful high priest, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, Hebrews 2, verse 17, and Hebrews 5, verse 2. Then again, this mercy and grace, which dwell in God the Father and are manifested through God the Son, are bestowed upon the heirs of grace and the vessels of mercy by God the Spirit, so that he is called the Comforter, who takes of these things of Christ and shows them to the people of God. So also he is called the Spirit of Grace. Zechariah 12, verse 10, Hebrews 10, verse 29. This grace is manifested to poor, sinful creatures when the Spirit of grace comes into their hearts, so that they are born again of the Spirit and made to possess a new life, whereby they become sensible of their guilty and fallen condition before God. Divine light is given to show them where and what they are, and divine life to be troubled that they should be in such a lost state and exposed to divine wrath and eternal punishment. The Spirit of grace and supplications produces in the soul earnest cries for mercy, if it may be had, and makes inward intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. In course of time, he comes also as the Comforter, making known the things of Christ, which raises up a hope in the mercy of God and encourages the soul to press after a personal and saving acquaintance with Christ. In this way, the sinner is brought to know that with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. If the Lord should mark his iniquities, he could not stand before him, but there is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared, which enables the soul to wait for the Lord, and to hope in his word, that he may receive this forgiveness and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in Christ. Psalm 130. Thus the work of grace is begun and carried on in the soul, and when it is complete, the headstone will be brought forth with shoutings, crying, "Grace, grace unto it." Zechariah 4, verse 7. Grace all the work shall crown, and through everlasting days it lays in heaven the topmost stone, and well deserves the praise.